Welcome to a message from New Life Christian Church and World Outreach.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm so excited to be able to bring the word again this morning. I consider it such an honor and a privilege because, you know, for 30 years I have sat under the best pastor in the world. I live with him, so I know that he doesn't just practice what he preaches. He preaches what he practices. And so it's such an honor that he gives me this opportunity to share with you this morning. And as you know, we've been talking about how around the world right now, there is a movement going on called Empower 21, The Awakening. It's got several names. Dr. David Ferguson started to pull us in as teams of leaders around the nation and the world. We're like, oh, what are we doing here, God? But anyway, he brought us into these meetings where they were strategizing how to have a global impact where the body of Christ and those who haven't yet known the Lord through salvation come to the understanding of what it actually means to live a life not only born of the Spirit, but filled with the Spirit. And it's so exciting to see what's going on. Listen, Asia, it's just going bonkers in Asia. I mean, this is a country all around the regions of Asia. They have suffered persecution for the sake of the gospel. And you know, I think a little persecution for Christ's sake is good for the church. It really does separate the sheep, the wolves, and the goats. And in Asia, they are so bold as they've come to the fullness of the Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit being in operation in the body of Christ throughout Asia. There, God is just showing himself mighty and showing himself strong. And I am so convinced that we get to participate in that prophecy that Joel prophesied, that in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. He is pouring out his Spirit. And we haven't seen it as much in the Western culture, but it's coming. Everybody say, it's coming. Do you know what next Sunday is? Oh, come on. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Do you know what next Sunday is? And what's important about that? It's because we are like the 120 that were gathered in the upper room. Back in the Bible, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, that the last words of Jesus, and it's really important, the last words somebody says to you before they leave the planet and they go to heaven. Well, the last words Jesus said, he commanded that they go to the upper room and they wait there for the day of Pentecost, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's happening right now. For a few years now, believers, again, around the globe have been praying for this very celebration of the anniversary of the day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years now since the first outpouring. And God is getting ready to do something fresh and anew, a fresh baptism of his Holy Spirit and fire. How do I know? Oh my gosh, I've been studying the Bible and I can't help it. I'm so excited. You know, I said, honey, I've been listening to some of these testimonies online and these Asians are so reserved. I mean, this one guy standing there, a pastor, and he's saying, oh yes, I believe the Holy Spirit baptism. God shows himself strong. We saw the dead raised to life. Dead 3 days, the believers prayed in the Holy Spirit, they commanded death to leave, and the person came back to life. And I'm thinking, how can you just stand still and say that? You know, but God is teaching me how to be in control. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't weird like some people think. He's not. He's the third person of the Trinity. Amen. And last week we talked about some of the arguments that religion has had concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because how many of you know, like, believers everywhere, churches filled with hundreds and thousands who just like, I think it was in Samaria, where either Paul or Peter, one of those guys. See, I'm no theologian. That's why I'm telling you, when God shows me something and validates it through the scripture by two or more witnesses of his word, I am so convinced you are never going to shake it from me. And, you know, they what was I saying? Okay. Yes, yes, yes. They were believers, but they said, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. Acts 19, Paul. That's my walking concordance right there. He is a theologian. He should have a doctorate. He's definitely earned it. All the books on his shelf, he's read them. Not me. I might be a little ADD. I don't know. But anyway, Acts 19, they said, we haven't even so much as even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. How many of you know people that know Jesus and love Jesus, but they didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost? They didn't know that he had gifts for them. They didn't know that he came to not only save them and fill them with his Spirit, but baptize them with his Spirit. Last Sunday, I used an illustration, and I'm just going to highlight this a little, because how many of you weren't here last Sunday? How many of you are going to be here next Sunday? Woo! last Sunday, this is such a great illustration. I took a little vessel, a little glass, and we filled it with water. And that was a representation of what happens in the new birth. When you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell on the inside of you, and he fills you with himself. The word says old things are passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, some people told me when I was a child and influenced by the Baptist denomination, out of ignorance, that there was only one baptism. But the word says, everybody say, the word says. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John baptized with water. Say, John baptized with water. That was a baptism, symbolic of the baptism unto salvation. John baptized with water, representing our identifying in Christ, that the old nature died in Christ, and we were risen again in new life in Christ Jesus. John baptized with water. And then he says, but, everybody say, but. When there's a but, you need to pay attention. It says, but you shall be baptized. There's a second baptism. The first one was the baptism with water. The second one was the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So there are two different experiences. There's more than one baptism. You first need to be baptized unto salvation and follow Jesus Christ in identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection through water baptism. And then, just like Jesus said, he wanted us to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. The other argument was that it wasn't for everyone. Say, it is for everyone. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, real quick. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed anything which he possessed was exclusively his own, but everything they... Oh, wrong one. Wrong verse. Okay. Let's see. Sorry. Got too ahead of myself. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were, biggest word in the Bible, all. Say all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So if it wasn't for everyone, why wasn't there two out of the 120 that didn't get it? Maybe they didn't need it. Maybe they were spiritual enough, and they didn't need any help from the Holy Ghost. No, all. You know, this set precedent. When the day of Pentecost came, and as a rushing mighty wind, he came into that upper room that day, and he baptized every single one of them with the Holy Spirit. That tells us that it was for all, not just for a few, but for all. And that it's for every generation. We know that because the word says it's for all that are afar off. All that are afar off. We were those that were afar off. It was for the Jew and the Gentile, and we're going to look at that today. It wasn't just for God's chosen people, but one of the other pivotal points in the book of Acts is when Paul was preaching, and while he was preaching, these believers received the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues, and he was saying to those Jews around him, how can we deny it? God did it. I didn't even lay hands on them. I was just preaching the word. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. They started speaking in tongues. You know, and if tongues freaks you out, you know, I don't know, I can't imagine anything more supernatural happening in my life than that a God that is so awesome could actually remove every sin that I've ever done and the consequences of that sin. That he would translate me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. If we believe him for salvation, how come we can't believe him for every good gift that he's given us? Amen. I mean, when he was talking to the man, Pharisees and Sadducees about the man that was healed, he said, which is easier? To forgive sins or to say, take up your bed and walk? Which is easier? And it's a work only the Holy Spirit can do. Hallelujah. So today on Mother's Day, let's read Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. Say power. And in the Amplified, it says, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. And then drop over to verse 13. And when they had entered the city, they mounted the stairs to the upper room where they were indefinitely staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew. Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And all these with their minds in full agreement. This is what's happening right now around the world. There are believers who are gathering together and they are praying for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They are praying for a revival in the church of Jesus Christ, that we would represent the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? And they are in full agreement. Now, this is what happens when you're in agreement. They devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer, waiting together with the women also, with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Mary got a gift from the Holy Spirit. Mary received a gift. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And on Mother's Day, I think, you know, here we are talking about giving mothers a gift. Here's the mother of Jesus. And the last thing Jesus said is, I want you to receive this gift before I leave. And so along with the women and the disciples, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the upper room. So if you know any Catholics, tell them, guess what? Mary spoke in tongues. Mary got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Now go to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Now, they were in that upper room for a while. They probably didn't feel like it was a suddenly moment. But it's like when you are praying and waiting in the Amplified, it says indefinitely. And I think that's that place of faith. When you have committed yourself to the word of God, go to the upper room and tarry and wait for the day of Pentecost. Wait for the outpouring. Because I'm going to give you a gift. And I'm going to send another to you, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will endue you with power from on high. And they said, all right, at your word, Jesus. And they marched up those stairs and they waited. And what the Amplified describes is indefinitely. And when within ourselves we believe wholeheartedly that the words of God are true, just like Pastor's favorite verse, that like Abraham, who was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. They couldn't do it for themselves, but they could wait on the Lord in faith, expecting to receive from God exactly what he promised. And when we are in that place and we have that conviction on the inside of us, we have suddenly moments that manifest his power and manifest his glory and manifest his promises, just like it did on the day of Pentecost. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which separated and distributed and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? He wants us to have a fresh outpouring of his Spirit. If we're going to be a great church, we need to commit our lives to receive everything that God has promised, to walk in it, not just to be happy with just fire insurance, you know, knowing that we're going to miss hell because we're born again, we're born of the Spirit. But that while we're living here on the earth, we live endued with that power from on high to be a witness, to be a witness. See, that's what he said. He wants us to be a witness. Hallelujah. We need the church to be revived, not only through the new birth, but the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Not just to get blessed, but to be a blessing. Don't you want to know what God can do through you, not just for you? Amen. Is anybody?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Wasn't too convinced. It's the way we fulfill the great commandment, the way we love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. See, we've tried to do it in our own ability, and we're not very good at it. But when the Holy Spirit that's been shed abroad in our hearts, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, then we can love others through that love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be imitators of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 real quick, and then we're going to hit one of the biggest obstacles I think there is, especially in this day and hour, since the seeker-friendly movement of the church that has hindered believers everywhere from believing and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ has loved us and gave himself for us, a slain offering and a sacrifice to God for you so that it became a sweet fragrance." See, he wants us to be imitators of him. And he received the Holy Spirit. The word tells us that Jesus was endued with power from on high, and he went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the enemy, for God was with him. We need to be imitators of God by receiving the same empowerment that Jesus needed to do the work of the ministry. If Jesus needed it, we need it.
Amen.
Amen. If Jesus needed it, I need it. Hallelujah. Let's drop down to verse 15. "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil." And we could all say yes and amen to that, right? The days are evil. "Therefore, don't be vague and thoughtless and foolish, understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is." What is the will of the Lord? How many times do people say to me, "I just want to know what God's will is. I just want to know what God's will is." Well, this is the preface to what he is going to say, how you can know what the will of God is. Let's drop down. "And do not get drunk with wine," verse 18, "for this is debauchery, but be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Ghost, the King James Bible says. And that word "be filled" actually denotes being filled. It's not just a one-time experience, but that you continue to be filled. that you continue to allow those rivers of living water to flow from your innermost being. If you've received the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you only spoke in tongues when you received it and you never did it again, then you have turned off the faucet of heaven and you have stopped the flow of the Holy Ghost in your life. And he wants you to turn it on again. He wants to baptize you afresh and anew today. He wants you to be filled and continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit and his power. I can't help myself. When I wake up in the morning, I'm praying in tongues. As I go throughout my day, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. When I first read the scripture that said, pray without ceasing, I thought, God, how am I going to get anything done if I'm praying without ceasing? But I can do it. I can multitask. I can pray in the Holy Ghost because my mind is unfruitful. But so I, you know, it's the spirit connecting, not the soul. And I can do my soulish tasks while I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm building myself up in my most holy faith, as Jude 20 says. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I love it. What an awesome gift. I mean, it's awesome. It's just awesome. Okay, so it says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled, be filled. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter. I'm going to have you all over your Bibles today. So you better have brought them. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. For his divine power, say divine power, has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellent virtue. In King James, it says, he has given us all things, all things. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you are struggling in your Christian walk, he has given you all things. The Greek or the Hebrew or whatever it is, what is it? The Greek. It means divine power. What is that divine power? Acts 1:8. You shall receive power, divine power. To be a witness. Your life isn't going to be a witness if you can't conquer sin, right? But when you're filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you have this divine power. You have the all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And you can walk in it and live in it. It's about yielding to everything that God is. To everything that his will desires for you. He empowers us. He doesn't overpower us. I know some people are like, huh, what's going to happen? Is he going to grab my mouth and, you know, whatever? No, he's not weird. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He empowers. He doesn't overpower. We still have to engage our faith and our will. Okay? He's not going to overpower. He's going to empower. He's going to lead us to action, not cause us to act wild and compulsively. Now, you might think I'm a little wild, but that's all right. Jesus likes me like this. He brings us under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He doesn't lord over us. He brings us into unity, not uniformity. See, each one of us is so fearfully and wonderfully made. And he uses your personality with the DNA that he put in you, just the way he created you in your mother's womb. And then he empowers you with his spirit. And he reveals himself to the world through you when you are completely yielded to him and receive everything that he has for you. Pentecost isn't scary. Do you know what Pentecost means? It means 50. It represents the number 50. That's not scary. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something you achieve through your own efforts. You don't have to work it up. I tried that. I mean, when I first started feeling the, you know, the drawing of the Lord to, you know, there's got to be more to God than this. There's got to be more to God than this. And I'd hear Oral Roberts or Ben Kinchlow and Pat Robertson, and I'd be on the floor praying with the TV, and I was trying to make it happen. I didn't realize that it was a gift, and I don't know, if somebody just gives you a gift, you don't have to try to make anything happen, do you? I mean, just like this. Okay, we got you a gift, because you're a mama. So, Amy, here you go. Did you have to try to make that happen? No. It's a gift. All you have to do is what? Receive it. Receive it by faith, just like salvation. Just receive that precious gift. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. How am I doing? Okay. For as many as are the promises of God, they are all find their yes and answer in Christ. Yes and amen. For this reason, we also utter the amen. For all the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen means so be it. Say so be it.
So be it.
Is the promise of the Holy Spirit a promise from God? It's not a trick question. Do we need to go back to Acts chapter 1? Where Jesus said, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Is it a promise from God? And 21 says, now he establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God. The anointing is a representative of the Holy Spirit who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Just go over a couple of verses. It's so amazing what he does for us. Chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. He has sent us the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, he is that same Spirit. It's not something freaky weird. It is Jesus manifested, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit, and he came to liberate you from your past, liberate you from the lies and bondage of the enemy, liberate you from sickness and disease. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You see the work of the Holy Spirit, not only in our lives to liberate us, but once we've been liberated, to liberate others through our lives. Amen. Just like Jesus, reading out of Isaiah, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us to learn, empower us to liberate others, empower us to live joyful lives. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with joy and laughter. John 14, 16 and 17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. These are the words of Jesus. If you read them in your Bible, and the words of Jesus are in red. This is red. I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Only believers can receive it, because the spirit of the world has blinded those that do not see and do not believe, and they cannot receive it. And they'll look at you and they'll point their finger and they'll tell you you're a weirdo and they'll tell you this stuff isn't for real. But when they get close, and you're on fire, amen, guess what's going to happen? They're going to catch on fire too. Verse 26 in John 14 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." And in chapter 15, it just goes right on. You know, in the original transcripts, it didn't stop at chapter 14, chapter 16. It was a continuation, the continuation of this preface of the power of the Holy Spirit. And what he has come to do continues in John chapter 15, verse 11. "And these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are filled with joy unspeakable, full of glory. You won't need Prozac or Zoloft or whatever that stuff is. But the yeah, but, the big question, you want to hear the big question? I actually got asked this question right after last Sunday. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. So we're going to read it together in our Bibles, and you're going to understand. You know, I want to understand. I've been so grieved over the last decade because of what is known as the seeker-friendly movement. That pastors that, you know, grew up in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the charismatic renewal in the late 70s and the early 80s were now changing their opinion about the Holy Ghost. And I thought, well, the Holy Spirit didn't change. Why are you changing? But no. We don't want to freak anybody out. We don't want any. We want to be friendly to the seekers. When they come in and they're seeking, we don't want to spook them. Well, apparently God wasn't too concerned about that, because when the 120 in the upper room received the infilling of the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues, they poured out into the streets. Few people said, "These people are drunk." But then through Paul, he said, "Peter, all right." Those guys, they give me a hard time. They both names start with P. He said, "These are not drunk as you suppose, but they're filled with the Holy Ghost." And 2,000 people got it added to the church just at that one time. That didn't follow the seeker-friendly mode. And like I said, I have been disturbed by the fact that we have relegated the Holy Spirit to the back room. And we've tried to be respectable. And we've lost the power. And so they may argue this method of sharing the gospel by the countless numbers of people that come into the kingdom through salvation. But there's more. There's more. That's why the Western church hasn't had an impact in the world like it should have. We are a Christian nation. Our entire country was founded on the right to worship God freely. As Christians, not Muslims. And I think that ought to be a prerequisite for citizenship. Did you come here to worship a Christian God in a Christian nation, the one and only true living God? That's our foundation. Don't be ashamed. Amen. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19, how many of you have wondered this very thing? Not 1 Corinthians, let's see. Ooh, I think I might have put down the wrong reference. Okay. "Nevertheless, in public worship, I would rather say five words with my understanding intelligently in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a strange tongue or language." So many people have taken this one verse of scripture out of context. And I got to tell you the truth, it gnawed at me myself for a while. Because I'd read, you know, Clark's commentary. And Clark, he was a fundamentalist. That guy, not a Holy Ghost man. And so, no. It's not, they give no credence to the representation of the Holy Spirit through a spirit, a spiritual language that is expressed publicly? No, they focus on this one verse of scripture that Paul says, I'd rather speak five words in my understanding intelligently to instruct others than 10,000 words in a strange tongue. And so people have thrown tongues out because of this one passage of scripture. But we're going to establish through God's word what Paul, who just made that statement, qualifies the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. See, they haven't gone back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, so turn there. Because there is so much more to the baptism of the Holy Spirit than just our heavenly language, just speaking in tongues. There's so much more. It's just the tip of the iceberg. From the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive spiritual gifts. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, the spiritual endowment of supernatural energy, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So he's going to explain. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. Drop down to verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say Jesus be cursed. And no one can really say Jesus is my Lord except by and under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are distinctive varieties. Say varieties. And distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, say they vary.
They vary.
But the Holy Spirit remains the same. See, there are gifts of the Spirit, and then there's your heavenly language, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And they vary. It's the same Holy Spirit. He's not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. He's not saying you don't speak in tongues because I'd rather preach five words that I can minister understanding of the scripture to than 10,000 words in tongues. He is not disregarding the power of the Holy Spirit and the ability to speak in an unknown tongue. In 1 Corinthians 12, let's see, verse 28, we're going to see some of the variety of the gifts of the Spirit. So God has appointed some in the church for his own use. First apostles, special messengers, second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, third teachers, then wonder workers, and then those with the ability to heal, helpers, administrators, speaking in different and unknown tongues. You see, these are gifts in the body of Christ. Now turn to Acts 2, verse 4. Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was no interpretation. If only in a public assembly, God would only have us speak in tongues with an interpretation, then why, when he poured out his Spirit on all flesh and set precedent, was there no interpretation? There was no interpretation, because we're going to see later through the scriptures that this is for personal edification, for magnifying God from your spirit. Amen? Acts 8:14, the apostles sent Peter and John to Samaria. Verse 15, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, and then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And it says nothing about interpretation. Nothing. Acts 9, verse 17, Ananias went to Saul, who became Paul after the road to Damascus experience. And it's recorded in verse 17. Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse 18 says, and immediately there fell scales from his eyes, and he arose and was baptized. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 and 46. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. These are the believers who said they believed and were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Those who said we hadn't even so much as heard that there was a Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. And nobody interpreted. And it was a public assembly of believers. Acts 19, Paul went to Ephesus, starting in verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on John as on Jesus as Christ? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. There they are. Okay. There they are. And asked, into what baptism were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And John's baptism represents the first baptism, the baptism of what, church?
Water.
Of water unto salvation. That's right. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, continually telling the people that they should believe in the one who has come after him, that is Jesus, having a conviction full of joyful trust that he is Christ the Messiah, and being obedient to him. And on hearing this, they were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So there it's showing not just the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but the gift of the Holy Spirit through prophecy. Prophecy needs interpretation. When you give a tongue of prophecy, that needs an interpretation, because it's not for your personal edification or just to magnify God, but it's for the believers. And so they need to hear the word that's come prophetically by the Spirit through an interpretation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:39, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. You're not going to prophesy if you're not even baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it's for all. All who are born of the Spirit should be filled with the Spirit. And Paul says, desire that you prophesy. And then what does he say? What does he say? Read it.
Do not forbid speaking in tongues.
Come on, everybody. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. Don't forbid it. That's Paul. That's the same guy that said, I'd rather speak 5 words in my understanding than 10,000 words in tongues. But he also bragged about the fact that he spoke in tongues more than anybody.
Right.
And he said, desire that you prophesy. You're not going to be able to prophesy if you don't speak in tongues. Amen? Because it's an empowerment of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We had a very strong, traditional, denominational leader in our community. Recently, he went home to be with Jesus. But before he left the planet, he believed on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And as they celebrated him and his life, it was said that this man might have been a prophet. But that didn't happen in the early years of his life when he was a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. It came after he received the gift of the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And then the gifts of the Spirit began to operate through him. Amen?
Right.
And they're for every one of us.
Right.
All who are born of the Spirit are candidates for that same endowment of power and those same power gifts to flow through our life. Amen?
Amen.
It's so exciting. Oh, I got to get done here. Okay. All right. Well, just like Mary, the mother of Jesus. Reba, come on up. How many of you want everything that God has for you today? How many of you are ready to receive everything that God wants for you? And I believe wholeheartedly that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is key to us fulfilling God's plans and purposes for our life. To have that power, tongues is a spiritual language that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your mind doesn't understand it. It comes out of your spirit and enables you to pray the perfect prayers when you don't know how to pray like you should. You know, we get so hung up over tongues, but, you know, this is just a cute example. When I went to the store and bought a pair of shoes, I didn't come home and say, honey, look at the tongues I got. No, I got a pair of shoes. The tongues just came with it. Right. Let's focus on the Holy Spirit. Let's receive the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and just know that tongues comes with it. Amen. It's a bonus. Amen. It's a bonus. Amen. Praying in the Holy Spirit is for personal edification. You can build yourself up in your most holy faith. He wants to fill you today. So everybody, stand to your feet. He wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill your mouth, but you've got to open it. He wants to fill your attitude with His power, His presence, His Spirit. He wants to take control of every area of your life. What are you holding out on Him? And why would you hold out on Him? A God who loves you, so incredibly loves you and has given gifts for you. So if you're ready for me to pray with you today to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you're ready for things to change in your life and no more be status quo, but be endued with a power from on high. You don't have to do it. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. You don't seek the tongues. You seek the Holy Spirit, the one who gives you the gift. Amen? So let's just lift our hands toward heaven. And those of you who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have your heavenly language. Stir it up right now. Stir it up on the inside of you. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says, I will pray in my understanding. I will pray in the Holy Spirit. I will sing with my understanding. I will sing in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Spirit. It is for the church as we magnify God. And those of you who are not filled, raise both hands to heaven right now. Raise both hands to heaven right now. And if there's a believer beside you, lay your hands on those who have both hands raised. And continue to pray in the Holy Spirit while I pray. Now, those of you that want to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, repeat after me. God, we want all of you that we can have. Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. I surrender all of me. I hold nothing back. Use me, Lord. Fill me, Lord, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Do what you want to do with my life. And give me your Holy Spirit and that supernatural language that I can pray in and magnify you. Give me any of the gifts you desire, Holy Spirit. I'm open. I'm receiving right now in Jesus' name. Now, church, pray in the Holy Spirit. And believers, pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, be filled with the Holy Spirit and power from the top of your head to the soles of your feet right now, wherever you are in this auditorium. Let the Holy Spirit fall. Let fresh fire from heaven come down on this church, Lord God. Change us, rearrange us. No. us a fresh enthusiasm for the things that you are doing in our lives and for what you have done, Lord. A fresh joy, Father. The joy of the Holy Spirit coming on them. Bondages broken. Lives being changed. And as your Spirit is poured out, Lord, bodies being healed. Respond to the Word of God. Respond to the Word of God. Be healed in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Receive, 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 receive right now. Say, I will never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you on Pentecost Sunday. Don't forget your Mother's Day gifts.
Just a reminder to the mothers, please get your Mother's Day presents right up front here. Make your way to the front, please.
The night is lighter than if you would lead me to believe, which leads me to believe. You make